Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the church service on Sunday, September 6, 2020.
First reading is from Ezekiel 33, verses 7 through 9. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you may also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. owe no one anything except to love one, except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come. But woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost." What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Words on preserved for our walk in this world.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a teachable moment in the life of Jesus' disciples. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, they asked. Now, why would those guys ask that question of Jesus? Are they seeking a deeper, a more meaningful understanding of God's kingdom? Or do they want to know who's going to get the best seat at the table with Jesus? Which is it? Well, if you know anything about his disciples, you already know the answer to that question. Our Lord Jesus does as well. So Jesus put their question to rest. Jesus invited a little child to sit with him and tells the disciples, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, did you catch what Jesus did here? Jesus put the disciples in their place. Jesus didn't point to one of his prideful followers, but rather to the humility of a little child who simply trusts in those who care for him. And from there, Jesus would go on to issue a very stark warning. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone tied around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Ouch. Did you know that the type of millstone that Jesus describes here weighs more than a ton? That gives you an idea of how serious this offense is to God. "So see that you do not despise one of the little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Even as Jesus speaks out of searching that one lost sheep out of the hundred, he tells us, "So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." When Jesus talks of the little ones, he is, of course, talking about those who are young in age. But even so, we can also apply what Jesus says here to those who are young in their faith. This applies to every new believer, regardless of age. Now, we beg the question, of what priority does God place on the learning of his word and the teaching of that word to the next generation? In the book of Deuteronomy, God commands, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Christians are to train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Christians are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that Jesus commands us. So Jesus tells us, disciple making begins in the water of baptism and in your homes with your children and grandchildren. Let's go back, shall we? What value did the early church place on teaching the things of God? In the book of Acts chapter 20, Scripture tells us of one service led by the Apostle Paul that lasted from sundown to daybreak. Now, historically speaking, our own Lutheran church has been very notable for its strong commitment to the Word of God. There was a time in the not-too-distant past when worshipers filled the pews on every Sunday morning to attend services that lasted for hours, and the pastor would be accused of being negligent if the sermon was less than an hour in length. So yes, there was a time when people craved the Word of God. Of course, much has changed from those days, hasn't it? Today, people watch the clock closely when I preach. And if I go on too long for their liking, I will most certainly hear about it. And these days, parents teach their youth to crave football and basketball and volleyball and hockey. Why, some families commit as many as 5 days a week to their children's athletic activities. Now, once again, back in the Stone Age, when I was a kid, confirmation class was held twice a week, every week. And if I dared to miss a class, the pastor would have a talk with my parents, and my parents would have a talk with me. Suffice to say, my attendance was perfect. But today, parents scoff at such a notion. Moms and dads have actually chastised me for expecting their children to attend both worship and catechism on a weekly basis. And they tell me the kids can't come to church because they can't get their child to practice on time if they go to church first. Wow. Admittedly, I continue to be amazed at how many people today claim to be Christian, while so few attend the church service on a weekly basis, and even few attend a Bible class. Now, the Holy Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The Bible also tells us, how are they to hear without someone preaching? So if God reveals himself to us by his word, and indeed he does, in whom or what are those who are not here placing their faith? Certainly not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ established the church on earth through the preaching and hearing of his word. And if someone's not in church, whatever they're listening to out there is not the word of Christ. And that, my friend, leaves only empty and meaningless words and spiritual deprivation of the most dangerous sort. So, where does that lead us to today? Let me give you a few statistics. About 2/3 of Americans now believe that Jesus sinned during his life on earth. Almost 75% of Americans believe that Satan is not real. 70% of Americans believe that hell is not a real place. An equal number of Americans believe that salvation depends on something we do and not on the grace of God. Of course, Bible-believing Christians know that's not what the Bible says. So what on earth is going on? Actually, it's not all that hard to figure out. Today, people are redefining Christianity and God on their own terms, establishing a brand new religion that agrees with their own personal opinions, a religion that excuses what God calls evil for the sake of peace and harmony and the greater good, a religion of totally human making. People claim to be spiritual today. People claim to believe in God today. But if you ask them to tell you about God, the answer will be different for every person. So, is God really one? Or is God custom made, according to each individual's opinions and whims and desires? Your God, my God, I'm okay. You're okay. No. We're not. And may God have mercy. Christianity today is looking ever more like that lukewarm church in Laodicea. Read about it in Revelation. The church of which Jesus said, "Because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." My friends, you're not lukewarm about your faith, are you? You study God's word every day. You speak of it with your children all the time. You take your kids to church every Sunday. You teach them that nothing is more important than a relationship with their Lord Jesus Christ. You do, don't you? Or have you taught your children by what you say and do that God is only worthy of your leftovers? Well, if that's the case, you might want to get ready. God's got a millstone just for you. You know, there have been kids in my confirmation class who have told me they don't get it, and they don't want to get it. Some have even been honest enough to tell me that God is not all that important to them. Now, I could tell you how much that breaks my heart, but that doesn't matter. Do you know how much that breaks the heart of God? And do you know from where they get that? How about the parent who drops them off at the church door and quickly drives away? How about the grandparent who doesn't remind their kids to do what is right for their children? How about the church member who can't be bothered to faithfully come to church and Bible study because they have other things that are more important to do? You know, many times I've had people in the church come and complain to me, I don't see this family, I don't see that family in church. You know what? I don't want to hear you complain about some parent who's not bringing their child to church. If you're not showing them how important God is to your life and your soul, because if you're not going to lead by example, you best step aside and be quiet. You know, is it really any wonder that recent generations now search for a church based on the entertainment value of the music instead of the church's faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it any wonder that when our children get jobs in other towns, they don't even bother to become members of a local church? Is it any wonder that our children get confirmed and then we never hear from them again? You know, when you really get down to it, God ought to take all of us and toss us into the depths of the sea. You can thank God that God doesn't work that way, because he loves you too much. Because he loves all his children, as childish as we can be. Jesus took your millstone upon himself to the cross. Jesus takes your salvation seriously. And with that same seriousness, Jesus invites you to come to him. And as you can see, my friends, this is a teachable moment. Jesus has so much to share with you. He has so many gifts that he wants you to have while you're here on earth. And through his word and sacrament, he offers those gifts to you and your children. He does it here each and every week. I hope you'll take him up on his offer. And I hope that you'll bring your children and grandchildren with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rock of salvation.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.